you, Danny and Debbie. Hey, your Bibles, open them up to the first chapter of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Sometimes in our busy lives, we fail to take the time to actually cherish or enjoy the blessings that we have for the moment for what it is, and that includes people as well. And so Paul here, as he begins to write to the church at Philippi, does that and expresses his not only appreciation, but his feelings for those at Philippi. The title of the message is How Special the Fellowship. And you and I often should remember how special that fellowship is within this body of believers, within those of our family as well. I understand there's some folks we probably had rather not be around, but you know what? The Lord could have looked at you and I the same way, but He saw not what we were, but what we could be through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so here, as we start with Philippians chapter 1, I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word, if you're able. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He has begun a good work in you and will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think of you, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you, all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. You may be seated. You know, quite often we take for granted, we come even to church as we are here this morning, we take for granted what a privilege it is and the blessing it is to have the fellowship with one another. And the same is true of our family, and it doesn't seem to dawn on us until one of those folks are no longer here with us. But yet how important it is that we cherish that fellowship. That fellowship is not only with each other, but also take time to be thankful and cherish the time you and I have in the presence of our Lord. Whether that is on our individual basis, or it is time that we sit and have prayer maybe before a meal, or the fact we come to church and we worship together, but to enjoy those times of fellowship we have with one another. Because we lived in corruptible bodies and life is as it is, oftentimes those folks are taken away from us. That fellowship we have the hope through Jesus Christ that we and they, knowing Him, again will have all of eternity together. But that doesn't dissipate the fact that they're gone from the here and now. And too often we get wrapped up about little things and disagreements and get upset with each other, and we go our separate ways. And yet Paul here writes, he says, when I think of you, this fellowship, and notice that, and how important that is, and one of the reasons we take the time with prayer and with praise, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I found it quite often sometimes that, you know, it was the funny times and the times when we do remember a person who has passed on at a funeral service or memorial that we have. And we remember those. You ever notice that you remember the good times? The bad times don't come up. They seem to fade away. And you know what? That tells me how immaterial those bad times really were. They may have seemed like a mountain at the time and it would be insurmountable, but yet with a little bit of time and a little bit of care and love, as Paul talks about, they seem to fade away. So why don't we take that while we have that opportunity to be a little more understanding of each other? Notice he says that he does that in remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy. You know, one of the easiest ways to quell a difference between you and someone else is to sincerely and earnestly pray for them. You cannot pray for somebody and be mad at them at the same time. Try it. It's impossible. Next time you ladies have one of us, your husbands do something you really don't like, pray for them right then. You cannot pray for somebody and be mad at them at the same time. It's impossible. Not if you're sincerely praying for them. Guys, it's the same thing with the ladies. Megan, same thing when Papa calls your new horse Two Socks. Just throw that little side note in there for you. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, oftentimes people will take that and say, well, it's the reading of the word together. Well, that's part of it. But knowing the gospel, when you and I come to be brothers and sisters in Christ until the present day, it's not the fact we just read a book, we hear words, and we hear words in our ear. It is the fact that we share that Spirit. This morning as we opened the service, we prayed that the Holy Spirit would be in this place. For you see, without Him coming, you and I just having another party to come and talk with each other. No different than any other day or wherever we may be. But what binds us together is His Holy Spirit, because we're like in that same way. And He says, for that fellowship in the gospel, for the fellowship through God's Holy Spirit that comes through Christ. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. You ever think about that? Sometimes when we look at the different things that some people do and we go, I just don't understand how they can do that. I'll be real honest. You know, I'll be the first one to tell you. I am Texas born, Texas bred. And, you know, sometimes I get job offers. My first question is, where is it? And they'll start telling me how wonderful it is. I know right then it ain't in Texas. And I'll say, where is it? And they'll finally come across and say, Minnesota. Nope, ain't interested in working in a foreign country. And that really takes them back. You know, these headhunters, but that's in the U.S. It's north of the Red River. That's foreign land, I promise you. But what we look at here with that very thing, it says, has begun a good work. And you think about that. Some people are very passionate about going overseas with missionaries. I'm thankful God didn't call me to do that. But I also understand their passion for it. You and I have to be able to understand that God uses people in so many different ways. We may not have the same passions. God didn't lay out the same plan for each of us. Thank goodness. But He does lay out a plan for each and every one of us. And when we fulfill that, and we are able to touch people through His Holy Spirit, you understand that that blessing comes not only to them, but also to you. It's a double blessing. It amazes me sometimes you read and you hear some of the lectures on winning and leadership and these type of things, and they go, you want a win-win. The only true way I know to have a win-win is to let the Lord guide it, and we follow it, and it's a win-win. Because both ends of whatever that task is, whatever that He's guided us to go do, takes place. They get a blessing, and you get a blessing. And sometimes with kind of the opposite end, when people, when we're in need of something and somebody offers it, sometimes we want to say, well, you know, I really appreciate it, but no thank you. Take a step back for a moment and think about it. Don't rob them of a blessing. If God's laid on their heart to come cook for you or clean for you or whatever it may be, when you refuse that, you actually rob them of the blessing God had for them for doing and being obedient. And so always give that a thought before rejecting it. He said it is in verse 7 here, he says, just as it is right for me to think of you all because I have you in my heart. So that heart is we have them in our soul and our spirit that joins us together. We may not always agree about everything, but that unity in Christ should never, we should never allow separation between that unity we have in Christ. One of the greatest things I appreciate out of you all is we may not always see things, but we're willing to go and pray about it and put it before the Lord. And I have yet to see this church not be able to come together on a decision, because it's in Him that we're looking for the answer. And He will always guide us in the right direction, whether it's a decision in this church, maybe it's a place you go to work, maybe what horse you buy, if you're of that persuasion to be buying animals and things of that nature. But when you put it to prayer, there will be no doubt whatsoever. And that is the sweetest fellowship of all. And it's always a blessing on both sides of it. And so he said, it is right because I have you in my heart, believer and believer. But that doesn't mean that we leave those who do not yet know Christ out, for the simple fact that it is mine and your job to exemplify the love of Christ and what can change. He says, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. He's speaking literally at this time. Paul has been in prison, but yet he says, I owe so much for what Christ has done. He says, I am chained to take and present the gospel because it is following in obedience, and the same for you and I. He says, you all are partakers of me of grace. I thought about that. There's not a single one of us that doesn't enjoy His grace. For you see, without God's grace, none of us would be able to be here or enjoy the fellowship with one another. No matter how different we may be and the different paths that we go through in life, it is His Spirit that binds us together. And that spirit of love and grace that He gave us through Jesus Christ. He continues, he says, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you all and with the affection of Jesus Christ. That affection, longing for one another, those who are present as well as those who have already passed. That is what we look forward to when all of God's family is brought together. When He brings every single one of us. And the affection of Christ. When I think of heaven, I always, and I know each one of you have talked about it at one time or another, the things you want to see in heaven, the people you want to see. But most of all, I look forward to seeing my Jesus and looking into His eyes with that affection and love that He had so greatly for us that He endured that cross. But I'm so thankful of His resurrection most of all. He says that, he says, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment." That comes from the fact of understanding that knowledge of Jesus Christ's character. That knowledge of how even as he was beaten and all, he had the knowledge of what would lay ahead and gave his love for all of us. But also that wisdom to know when it was the right time to speak and when it was the right time not to. That is discernment of the decisions that you and I make, knowing and listening when God has called us that we might engage someone else into God's family. He says finally that he says that I may approve of the things that are excellent and you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. We realize we'll never be perfect. We'll make those mistakes. But just as Paul tells us in Corinthians when he talks about love, that it overlooks, it oversees, it wipes out, just as we think of loved ones when they have passed, wipes out any of those bad times or disagreements. It focuses upon the love that we have for one another. So should we as we go and seek to look for God's opportunities that he gives us every day to be able to share Jesus Christ with others. He says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. And you see, that is how God sees us every day. Righteous. One of those things that it talks about in the mysteries that Paul says, the mysteries of the gospel. The mysteries how God could love us so much that he would give everything for us. And the other mystery is the fact that the mystery of how he can see us so holy and righteous. But you see, he sees us through the blood of his Son. You and I every day have the opportunity to be obedient, to follow through and to bring others before him, that they too might know Jesus Christ. Finally, we're filled with that righteousness, he says, which by our Jesus Christ. The only way you or I can ever be righteous is because of what Christ has done and allowing and us allowing him to do that same work within us in every facet of our lives. And as always, it is to the glory and the praise of God. When you do these little things in cherishing the fellowship or in helping someone else, I said there's a blessing on both ends for them and for us. But the greater blessing is that we glorify our God. Ever notice how those things always come in threes? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The other one's blessed, you're blessed, and he gets the praises. Special. And how special. You and I should treasure the fellowship that we have with those who follow Jesus Christ and those who we share that Spirit with. And if you really find that you can't get along, then ponder this in your discernment. You're just going to spend all of eternity with them, so you better find a way to make it work, huh? Better find at least something in them that you like so you can focus on that. And I say that kind of laughingly, but at the same token, you know, I've had people that I really didn't care to be around, but if I really looked and allowed God to work in me, and let me see a glimpse through his eyes, I could always find one thing at least that I could say, you know what, I do appreciate that. And that's when that Holy Spirit says, well, you're finally beginning to figure it out, mulehead. Don't be a mulehead. Just give it a little time and let the Spirit work in you. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, we want to give you that opportunity because your life really can't be fulfilled and be an abundant life without him. That Spirit that we talk about, oftentimes people are afraid to mention the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. It's nothing more than God's presence. When you and I come before him, and even as we gather here today, he said, where two or more are gathered, I'm there also. His presence is here. because we came to worship. And inside each one of us, His Holy Spirit lives. There gets no better fellowship than that. Because of His presence and our belief, we're bound together. We're like-minded. Where God is present, as you already know, nothing but grandeur can take place. The greatest thing He desires more than anything else. If you're here today and don't know His Son personally, with a heart relationship, not a head, but a heart relationship, that is the grandeur of all, that one comes to know Him. So we're going to offer a very simple prayer. You're going to hear folks all over this room say that same prayer to encourage you, for you see, we all have been where you are. Somebody took the time to share a gospel. Somebody took the time to pray for us and with us that we might come to know Jesus Christ. As we pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I come today confessing I am a sinner and I need a Savior in my life. I believe You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I ask You today to come into my heart, to be my Lord and Savior, to forgive me of my sins, to walk with me always, even into eternity. See, it's that simple. Devil's going to try to say, oh, you got to do all these things. He's a liar. He always has been, always will be. All you have to do is confess with your mouth, as Paul tells us in Scripture, and believe in Jesus Christ with your heart. You and I have the freedom of choice to ask Him to be our Lord and our Savior. So today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you ask Him to come into your heart, I'm going to ask you simply to slip your hand up and back down for a moment, not to embarrass you, but to pray with you and for you, for your life has just started over. That abundant life has begun today. As I heard